Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome, everyone, at 3tentos' presentation for the results related to the fourth quarter of 2021. Today with us, we have Mr. Luiz Osório Dumoncel, the company's CEO, Mr. Maurício Hasson, the company's CFO and IRO, and Mr. Eduardo Motter, the company's IR manager. This event will be recorded, and we have simultaneous translation into English. During the event, all participants will be connected in listen-only mode. After that, we'll start a Q&A session. Questions can be asked via audio by clicking on the Raise Your Hand icon, which can be found at the bottom part of your screen. To send questions via text, simply click on the Q&A icon, also available at the bottom of your screen, and type in your question. Participants connected by phone can ask their questions by pressing star nine. Questions in English will be received only in text. Before moving on, we'd like to say that any forward-looking statements made during this presentation relative to the company's business prospects, projections, and operating and financial targets are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the company's management, as well as on information currently available for the company. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. General economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the company's future results and thus lead to results that will differ considerably from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. I'd now like to turn the floor over to Mr. Luiz Dumoncel. Please, Mr. Dumoncel, you have the floor.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for participating in our call for the fourth quarter results for 3tentos. We're gonna be talking about the whole year, actually. As we see it, 2021 was a year where agriculture in Brazil, especially in Rio Grande do Sul, agriculture showed its potential. It was an incredible year for agriculture as a whole, very good climate conditions. Even though it was a difficult year because of the pandemic, still agriculture was able to show its potential, its resilience, and continue to produce and produce increasingly more using technology and leading to high yields. For 3tentos, it was a very important year. We continued to add value for the company, for the clients, farmers, all our stakeholders. It was also a year when 3tentos, we started in the third quarter, but Mato Grosso, we opened a store in Sinop, and today we are working in Matupá, Sorriso, Sinop. We have three outlets and have been obtaining business results which were quite positive and a very good penetration in the area. We're very excited with this new wave over there. As for technological innovations, they are a reality. You cannot simply say we're going to innovate. That's an ongoing process and also an endless process, if I may. We'll always be adding value through technological solutions that we offer for farmers. Since we started 26 years ago, we have always been a company which has always sought technology. We go after new tools, new solutions to bring more yield, more productivity, more gains for agriculture as a whole. The year 2022, which we'll be addressing in a moment, is a very challenging year as well, especially for the states in the southern part of Brazil, including also across border Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, a very severe drought down there. It's also a year where companies and farmers will be able to show their value as they resume previous levels of production. 3tentos has a relationship with farmers which lasts 365 days a year. for us, that something that makes us really strong. We have a complete solution for farmers, best quality seeds, best quality applied fertilizers, and the best crop protection products, pesticides and others to protect our crops. So pests have affected less and less our crops because of those solutions. So cultivars are preserved, and those cultivars are able to express their highest potential. We do have a team of agronomists who also set themselves apart from the competition, as they work very close with farmers, and we will always be addressing the administrative and financial pillars of the company, where we have a relationship with our client where everybody wins. That has been our profile since the beginning. Today, we cover over 80% of the area for agriculture in Brazil, for rice, soybean, corn, and wheat. And that partnership with farmers, which, as I said, is on for 365 days a year, that forms the most thorough ecosystem in agriculture in Brazil. So that's the image that we convey. You can see that on the screen, the four crops, and that starts on January the 1st and goes all the way through December 31st. A lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, always aiming at striking a balance in terms of production. Now we're going to take a look at the numbers. This was announced in our release after the market closed yesterday. And I'd like to draw your attention to that growth level, 72% or 71.7% growth that we filed in 2021. 5.3 billion in revenue. So that shows a very well done job, but above all, it shows the dedication that we have with our growers and farmers and their recognition that we receive from them. The adjusted gross profit of over 800 million, a margin of over 15%, margins reduced a bit because of the highest or the higher grain volume trading. So that oscillation is, the variation is quite normal. And that also appears in the adjusted EBITDA, 500 million. But we'd like to call your attention to our adjusted net income, over 500 million, a growth of 78%. That shows that agriculture has been bringing results, has been generating innovations. And that, of course, includes R&D, innovation. And as I said, we focus all the way from the seed, all the way down to meal, processed corn, and also biodiesel. Mauricio will explore the returns in more detail, ROE and ROIC. Those are other indicators that we are very careful at addressing. We monitor those very closely. This company is quite linked with its clients, and that has been increasingly becoming more professional, and we are able to deliver increasingly better results. So we have overcome the market expectations, as you can see, with the consensus of August and November showing net revenue or adjusted EBITDA, ROE, and we exceeded all of those numbers. We came level with the adjusted EBITDA, but we exceeded all the others. So we are quite aligned with the stock markets, the B3, also the capital markets, and that alignment that we have with the market is a process where we all get to learn. I have one more slide to comment about digitalization. Três Tentos has been leading the technology front. I'd like to ask Eduardo to flip the slides, please. Thank you. Okay, I'll now turn it over to Mauricio then. Mauricio, you can carry on, please. Over to you, Mauricio. Thank you, Luis. Good morning, everyone. I'm moving on with the presentation. In terms of the company's numbers and results, it might be redundant to say, but when you talk about growth in Q4, 62% growth, we delivered a growth of 72% in the whole year, as Luis mentioned. I'd like to draw your attention to some of the highlights in the year. Those highlights make up our ecosystem. Starting with inputs or ag inputs, that was the company's segment that had the best performance. We moved from a revenue of 700 million to 1.5 billion in revenue in 2021, a growth of 67%. Most of that growth driven by an increase in volume, an increase in volume for seeds, fertilizers, and crop protection products. In the aggregate, we had an increased volume of 18%. And where is that growth coming from in inputs? Well, to a large extent, it comes from a larger coverage area with the expansion, the creation of new units, new stores, new outlets for sale, something we've been doing on a continued basis for some time. We now start reaping those benefits. We have better mixes. We sell more to the same clients. That's something that makes us all very proud. It's the result of a lot of hard work out in the field. And that, as I said, makes us all very, very proud. More than any number, you can see that. That it's when we go out and we feel out in the field farmers' recognition to our work. With that, our result for inputs, we have 366 million, a gross profit at 367 million, actually, a margin of 23.9, an important increase in margins, something that we've been talking about since early in the year. We were after that increase and margins that happened gradually throughout the past quarters. As for grains, the main highlight will be its relative contribution within the ecosystem as a whole. Grains grossed 1.4 billion BRLs in the year, moving from 500 million. We almost tripled from one year to the next, driven by a record crop that we have for soybeans, and in particular, in a great wheat crop in Rio Grande do Sul. That, of course, has good impacts for the whole chain. The number one, of course, being the originating volume for the company as compared what is allocated for industry and the sale of grains, as we will detail moving forward. And the second main benefit from that crop, good commodity prices, is that we have a more capitalized farmer. Wheat harvest happened in November. So in Rio Grande do Sul, those farmers closed the year with more money in the bank, more capitalized. We see a contribution for the result as a whole of 111 million BRLs coming from grains. It is a profit that more than doubled year on year from 52 to 111 million. A marginal drop of the gross margin for grains, driven by a higher share of soybeans within that segment of grains. And then when we talk about the industry, the third pillar, we cannot separate those businesses or cannot set them apart. When we look at the industry, we see industry growing at 40% rate a year. We grew across all products in the company, but industry probably had the lowest growth in terms of volume over the company, something close to 2%. But still, we delivered gross profit at a level similar to last year's. It was a challenging year, no doubt, both in terms of the crushing margins and also biodiesel margins. Once again, biodiesel, we have that additional margin that the company has the option to decide either to refine it and transform the oil into biodiesel or not. So that will allow us to have a different sales channel, right? And that will happen on occasion. We feel a growing demand for meal. This year, exports grew more than the internal market, something close to 60% of our production for meal. that growing demand will be start being served as of May. I'll go into more detail further. In May, we'll have increased capacity at one of our manufacturing facilities in Cruz Alto. We have doubled the factory's capacity from 1,000 tons a day to 2,000 tons a day to serve that market. With that, have the company's gross profit as a whole, for the whole company, of 815 million BRLs. But more than the number, beyond the figures, I can see the benefit of having the three lines of businesses combined. At a moment where the industry is not performing so well, we have the ag inputs more than offsetting any potential underperformance. Moving on to slide number 8, I'd like to draw your attention. We have talked about gross profits a lot. I'd like to call your attention to the EBITDA figure now. Gross profits at 280 million BRLs, which were added to the EBITDA, excluding depreciation. We're not counting depreciation there. And when we look in terms of expenses, we have to have a more cautious look at that. It was a year we had two important events. The end of 2020, we had the incorporation of Ventos do Sul. So the Três Tentos expenses, when we compare that to the previous year, 21 against 2020, expenses 2020 did not include the Ventos do Sul expenses. So when we called your attention to an increase in expenses of 140 million for sales, we are not including about 28 million, give or take, from Ventos do Sul and other consulting items that were needed throughout the year. Those are non-recurring items. As for G&A, we had the same caution of segregating what is non-recurring and what has to do with an increase in the structure, because we went public. Now we have a differentiated governance procedure. So, and I'd like to say our adjusted EBITDA, if we had, this is not reported anywhere else in the presentation, if we had looked at the adjusted EBITDA for 2021, 494, if we add those two non-recurring events, that number would be 552 million BRLs, 552. On slide number 9, this is the joy of any CFO, and I'm quite honored to be the one to announcing this and to be the company CFO right now. A cash profit, which is quite relevant. Cash generation, 537 million in 2021. That's almost enough to cover all our working capital needs, which have increased considerably in 2021, given our growth of 72%. Of course, that growth in working capital is not even that significant, but still, we've been doing that throughout the years. Our cash generation is more than enough to finance that growth of the company, which is not small, of course. The company's CapEx, which is highlighted there, we're talking about the CapEx for the investment, which had not been contemplated in the IPO plan. And when we look from a standpoint of all the company's resources, the company is cash positive in 290 million BRLs. That's the main strength, the main liquidity buffer that the company has to go through potentially more difficult years. On slide number 10, we like to talk about returns. We talk about returns all the time. Returns on over own capital and over an invested capital. We monitor those two metrics very, very closely in comparison to marginal investments. We've seen that the company, because of its high level of investments last year, especially last year, 2021, and for the coming years, marginally, return on invested capital has been dropping for the past years because of investments that were made are not still generating enough results. They are not remunerating adequately. And as for return on our own capital, the same goes. But still, we're talking about at levels of 46% of return on our own capital, ROIC. When you talk about the company's debt, the company is cash positive, as I said, to 90. But just for purposes of illustrating what I'm saying, this is how we're behaving in terms of net debt and a picture if we had not had the IPO in cash in the gray line. This is quite relevant for us to look at the company's investments. On slide number 11, when you talk about the expansion of new stores, if we look at a longer timeline, not talking about last year only, but going back in time, the company has maintained very consistent growth levels in terms of results coming from ag inputs and retail. Going back to 2015, 280 million of revenue until last, through all the way through last year, significantly higher numbers. And we separate new stores from mature stores. New stores fall under a three-year period to be assessed. The main highlight of that timeline, of that historical series, is the constant aspect of having new stores within the company's total revenue. We always have new stores contributing. That's very valuable to us, not only because they're new stores. When you think that the company today is delivering a CAGR of 36% for new stores, for mature stores, it's 31%, very close in terms of CAGR, compounded growth. As I said earlier on, it's a recognition that we are actually managing to have a higher or a longer footprint, a higher penetration with the new clients and also with the clients we already have. And that, of course, impacts our market share as it grows. On slide 12, it becomes clearer when we start talking about same store growth. The same store growth is very, very close to the company's total growth. To a large extent, that is due to the fact that new stores in their first year of operation still contribute at a very low level. And that, of course, brings about a positive highlight, which is the success of the company's growth year on year is driven by the same stores. The positive highlight for us, when you look at the company as a whole, we can already see Mato Grosso in 2022 bringing about a very important level of results. We have opened stores in Sinop in 2021, and January last month, we opened two new stores in Mato Grosso, Matupá, a store with a grain storage facility. We bought the store up and running, and the store at Sorriso, which is, as of now, works as an input reseller. Talking about the consolidation in Rio Grande do Sul, last year was a year where we sped up expansion. We opened seven stores instead of the six we had anticipated. This year, we plan on opening another five stores in March this year, next month. We will have defined the location of those new stores, and the respective implementation will happen throughout Q2 and Q3. Still about Mato Grosso, 2022, as I said, Sorriso and Matupá, two new stores, very positive results as it relates to Mato Grosso, especially in respect to our share in ag inputs retail. Mato Grosso accounts for 12% of the company's total ag inputs revenue for 2022. So in the first full year of operation, for Mato Grosso already accounts for 12%. So that's very good. Matupá is already starting to receive soybean grains, and in June, we'll be receiving corn through Matupá, and of course, Matupá will be able to also receive corn. That's a unit, a store where we have been investing heavily. We're investing heavily in the whole state. We have 40 hired professionals down there. All the support structures, systems, personnel, admin personnel, it's all being implemented right now to provide the necessary support for that expansion. It's a different type of extension. It's not a mere store as we have in the South, where we already have close by structure. In Mato Grosso, we need to increase our support structure to serve those needs. Now, on slide number 15, moving away from retail of ag inputs and moving towards industry in 2021 was a year where we had very relevant investments. As for the Vera factory, 37% complete. Now, as Luis said, the expectation for the start of crushing is scheduled for July 2023. But as of mid-year, as of the middle of this year, that warehouse you can see on the top picture on your screen will be ready to receive grains. And we'll be participating in this year's corn crop. When you talk about Cruz Alta on the bottom part, also a very important investment we made in Rio Grande do Sul. We have doubled our crushing capacity. You can see those yellow squares highlighted on the picture have increased, actually have doubled from 1,000 to 2,000 tons a day for crushing. So Rio Grande do Sul now has a total capacity of 4,000 tons a day. That's very, very important for two reasons. Number one is that we're able to meet a demand we had not been able to meet, especially from the foreign market for meal. And for the internal market, the company becomes self-sufficient in the production of oil to produce biodiesel. Today, our production capacity for biodiesel is higher than that for oil. So whenever Três Tentos wants to have a higher share in biodiesel, we have to buy oil from third-party suppliers, which today sits at about 25%. With this expansion, moving from 3,000 to 4,000 tons a day of soybean crushing, the oil coming from that expansion will allow us to be self-sufficient in terms of oil production towards biodiesel. Moving on to slide 16. As industry depends on origination heavily, that's where we actually add value to the original grain. Historically, the company has had a volume of soybean crushing, which is quite close to what happened in 2021. For 2022, we plan to have an increase, as I said, to increase the capacity for Cruz Alta. We intend to crush 1 million tons and originate 1.2 million tons. When we think about the origination of 1.2 million tons for 2022, it is very doable, especially when you look at the company's track record. If you look at the curve in the bottom of the page, and the grains crop for the Rio Grande do Sul for the past years, and you compare that with the top chart, and you can compare with our origination. In 2020, we had an important crop failure, something close to 40% of what was expected, failed, and still the company managed to originate that level of tons. So the company originated 1 million out of a crop of 11 million in a difficult year. And the company has 10 fewer stores than it'll have this year, 2022. So we start 2022 with a capacity of 950,000 tons of capacity, static capacity. So it's an increase in units, which will provide us with a higher level of penetration in Rio Grande do Sul, and more than that. Something we have always been working on, technology and working closely with farmers. And to talk about technology, I'd like to call Luiz Dumoncel back to chip in and tell us where we are across the different technological initiatives we have going on. Over to you, Luiz. Thank you, Mauricio. Technology, with the grower, I wanted to say that Três Tentos leads in technology, the technology that is delivered to growers and farmers. We are very focused on digital certification. Over 700 active growers, delivery, invoicing, delivering invoicing via cell phone, over 1,500 freight trucks delivered in the last crop. The online grain fixation, this was an exponential growth because growers are getting adapted very fast to that technology, and all of that under the Três Tentos app, a proprietary technology we have developed with a Porto Alegre company. And we've been doing this since 2018. That has been evolving. So that leadership we have in technology and digitalized agriculture leaves us all very excited because we are managing the whole process alongside growers, financially speaking, technologically speaking, technically speaking. The Terra Trace is a tool that we have offered growers via web, that can be accessed by growers along with their consultants. They have access to their DVI images and thus make better decisions with their own agronomists out in the field right there and then in real time, and they will know the results you'll be able to have. So this dedication the company shows on that front. Yesterday, for example, we had a meeting with the 50 units of Três Tentos, João Marcelo and myself. And so I can safely say that we reached all employees and we distributed the results, our PPR for 2021. We paid out, shared the profits. And we talked about Três Tentos' commitment with growers, Três Tentos' commitment with agribusiness, which allowed us to have the results that we had, the best possible results. So we know the field, we know the growers, and that's what sets us apart. But beyond that, it's very genuine, very true. That ecosystem I mentioned is not merely on paper. It is a concrete thing that arose from the field, including all employees. On page 18, we talk about sustainability. That's something Três Tentos has been acknowledged or recognized in Brazil. On the 23rd, we receive a seal, an award from the Ministry of Agriculture as a company that has excellent practices around ethics, sustainability. So Três Tentos is very proud to have been recognized along those pillars. We are well advanced in getting a new certificate to be a B Corp, probably the only company in the Brazilian agribusiness which will have a B Corp certificate. Our work with the sea bios, carbon sequestration, that's something we've been doing tirelessly. We have a whole team dedicated to that. We have a specific sustainability management department. We have people focused on that, a specific manager leading that front to talk directly with the farms, with the farmers and their families. And our dedication for us to be able to monetize that. Farmers need also to be acknowledged in their good work in taking care of their properties. And 2021 was a year where we had our first sustainability GRI report announced. On the next page, we'd like to talk about 2022. We know that we are facing here in the south of Brazil. I've been at the company for 26 years. I've never seen so severe climate conditions as we've been seeing during this season. We are now in mid-February, and we do not have normal rainfall levels yet. We have irregular rainfall distribution in the south. The bottom half of the state is better than the upper half of the state. So the bottom half will have a better production level. On the northeast of the state, the situation is not positive at all. People are talking about a 50% failure, could be more. We are quite focused with our clients in addressing that. We do have a situation in place. It is something which we cannot control. There's nothing we can do to make it rain or stop raining. So we need to work with what we have. We're going on a farm-by-farm basis to analyze, to assess what's happening, what's going to be harvested, what's going to be sold, and how we're going to help them pay their obligations. There will be cases where we will need to reschedule payments, and that will lead to a shift in our cash flow. We are 100% ready for that. We are starting a very challenging year, but we are also very confident that the company right now is ready. We have prepared, along with our clients, to face this new difficult moment. We know that Rio Grande do Sul, Mato Grosso together, those are those rank in the first positions in terms of production in Brazil, along with Paraná. And we'll be able to strike a balance in those volumes. As for grains are contributing for our revenues. Prices are well valued because the pandemic, as I see it, has brought about a scenario where countries, companies started having higher inventories. And for that, there's a higher demand for grains. And industry, as I said, we always add value with industry. Now, moving on to the last slide, Eduardo, where I'd like to comment to wrap up what we expect for 2022. We expect the year to be a positive one. We are quite confident, as I said, ready to face all difficulties. Very, very serene, but also aware of the reality. We know that ag inputs have improved our numbers. We know that inflation for the past quarters has been high and will continue to be so. That's what we expect to see, inflation going up. But we are together so that we can, in Rio Grande do Sul and Mato Grosso, contribute for the cities, communities where we operate. We know how powerful those communities are. We know how valuable the Brazilian countryside is in terms of producing renewable energy and grains, and also trading. We know that we are helping to explore the countryside of Brazil. I included that we have to celebrate 2021, and we need to be ready to face, with a lot of confidence, a lot of hard work, 2022. And for that, we have a very skilled team at Três Tempos. We do have committed clients. And of course, Três Tempos will be walking along everyone to move forward. I think now we'll move to the Q&A session. It was a pleasure for us to be here, Mauricio and myself, to be with us, to be with you during this call. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. Questions can be asked via audio by clicking on the icon, raise your hand, available at the bottom part of your screen. Right now, a request to open your microphone will pop up in your screen, and you have to click on unmute. To send your text question, just click on the Q&A icon also found in the bottom part of your screen, and then type in your question. Participants connected by phone will be able to ask their questions by pressing star 9. When your question was collected, you will receive an announcement to unmute your microphone by pressing star 6. Questions in English will be received exclusively via text. Mr. Mateus from UBS would like to ask a question. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Luis, Mauricio, Eduardo. Thank you for taking my question. My first question, looking at biodiesel, the company mentioned in their release that you expect to see stability around the margins, given the end of the auction period for biodiesel. I know it's only 2 months from the new model, but could you please give us some more color in terms of how Três Tentos has been able to capture that benefit? Do we have contracts more linked to raw material, as you said? And also, if the company has seen possibilities of signing longer-term contracts in Rio Grande or Mato Grosso as well. And my second question, I'd like to understand your expectations in terms of demand for ag inputs for 2022. Of course, there should be a growth because the expansion of stores and so on, but I'd like to understand the willingness on the part of growers given pricing levels and that crop failure that we've seen. Are you expecting volumes at what level? Those are the questions. Thank you. Mateus, I can start, and then first of all, thank you for your participation. Great questions for us to make it clear. Biodiesel changed, of course, in 2022. Since January 1st, we have not had the auctions we used to have to trade biodiesel, and we started to have a direct relationship with distributors. This was something that both distribution and production had been presenting to us. Of course, it was a bit too fast, not a lot of planning involved. The decision came from the Ministry of Mines and Energy to suspend the auctions, but both the commercial side on production and distribution quickly adapted. We have had the meetings, and the biodiesel associations and distribution association have already made contact with us. And we started to use the volume of 80% of contracts for the same period as we have before, so that we wouldn't have an abrupt ending. So we decided to assess the process for 2 months. So we are working on a 2-month by 2-month basis. So this was done in the first bimester, which is coming to a close now. It's already prepared for the second bimester, March and April, and we'll carry on along those lines. So for longer contracts, we're not really thinking about them. If they come about, it's going to have to involve volume, but not price. Price will walk hand in hand with the market. That has provided more stability for us, that as we've shown just now, and a higher level of predictability. So raw material, industrialization, margins, supplies for the biodiesel industry, we are quite excited about that. We still do not have an intention of doing anything in Mato Grosso. We know that the demand exists, is there. We know we will go back to B13, 14, or 15, which is what the law says, and we expect to see that happen when the market sees as the right moment. As for ag inputs, farmers will think about their investments and resize it. We know of the growth in wheat acreage, so in about a month or so, we will be getting ready to start planting wheat. Growers are already buying seeds and other inputs. Last year's crop had about 1.2 million hectares for wheat and Rio Grande do Sul. So growers will increase that area they need to generate revenue. Agriculture is very dynamic in that respect. It brings us challenges such as too much rain or droughts and so on. And of course, we need to absorb that impact. But at the same time, the market is saying that in 2 months' time, we'll be planting wheat. And in August, we'll be planting corn. And after that, soybeans. So we are, in short, confident in this continued demand for agricultural products. And Três Tentos is ready to work with our clients and manage that process. We know of the difficulties that we have for raw material. Glyphosate is one example, also some fertilizers. But those are situations for which we are quite ready. We have inventory in-house to be able to meet our clients' needs for the coming months. And as all the markets, we are paying attention, being cautious to avoid problems. Right now, I do not see any red flag in front of us. There are some warning signs around those two products I mentioned, Mateus, but nothing that would be major. Mauricio, would you like to add anything to my answer? No, I think you've covered everything, Luis. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mateus. Gabriel Baja from Citibank would like to ask a question. Luis Mauricio. I have two questions. One slide, slide number 12, you saw the numbers for same store sales, but that's in BRLs. Would you like, could you please help me understand in terms of volume, if you could isolate that increase in price from that number, what would that chart look like? In addition, if you could also remove or at least show the importance of Mato Grosso in those same store charts, that would help me understand that dynamics a little better. If you include or exclude that price effect, it seems to me that the price effect helped boost that number. Also, in relation to carryover inventory, if you could talk about your current stock levels when you compare it last year, was there a relevant increase or not? Why? If that's linked to higher prices and inputs. And a final question, you've talked about the drought, you explained the effects of the climate conditions, but just to be sure I understand, what in this year's results already reflect that and what has been deferred to next year? And will we see those effects in the first half of the year, second half of the year? I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Luis, I'll start here. Okay, carry on. Hi, Gabriel. For the three questions, number one, the volume chart, we can do that. I can do that for you, and I'll send that to you later. Just drawing your attention that for 2021, we grew in inputs, in volume, we grew by 18%. That's a combined volume for seeds, fertilizers, and pesticides. So that's 67% of growth in the year for 2021. We captured that hike in price for fertilizers and what happened in crop defensive products, of course. That's already embedded, but no doubt I can get that ready for you and send that to you later. As for Mato Grosso's share in the result, it's very, very minimal for 2021. Mato Grosso accounted for
30 million reais, 30 million, very small volume. So not really relevant, at least not yet. Mato Grosso, maybe I'll jump to your third question, then I'll come back to your second question just to link with Mato Grosso. When you talk about impacts on results, the results of the drought, part of those have already been reflected in this year and last year's results. Some application of pesticides were not done last year that could have made the result even better. This will happen in the first quarter of 2022. Most of that impact of a lower sales of pesticides mitigated by the sales in Mato Grosso. So when we said that we are very, very excited with Mato Grosso, part of that excitement has to do with the reception we are now enjoying in Mato Grosso, but also because we're selling more pesticides. Part of that sale would happen in Rio Grande, and that didn't happen because of the drought. Most of that is being sent or moved to Mato Grosso, those crop protection products. In comparison to the previous year, when you compare 22 with 21, the first quarter of both years, we are talking about an extra 7 stores. And that, of course, helps us significantly. Even in a landscape of a crop failure, it still helps us. But Mato Grosso has been a surprise, our ability to place products there. And now, speaking a bit about carryover stock, I'll like to share that with Luis. But giving you a more broad view, because we haven't sold everything, we haven't sold all pesticides we had in 2021, we're going to carry something over to 2022. That's a small portion when compared to the whole, but does have a contribution. So that has to be emphasized. But when we look at the carryover stock, this was a year where growers fixated less. So I have a stock on the one hand and grains to be fixated on the other hand. So the carryover stock will be slightly higher, perhaps because of this behavior on the part of growers and farmers. And as a consequence, we had fewer transactions with grains late in the year. Luis, would you like to add to my comment? I think you covered everything, Mauricio. I'd like to add just one thing. 2021 was a year of record crops in terms of volumes and yields. And that soybean production and wheat production, we originated a lot more than 200,000 tons of wheat. And growers were fixating. We started to move that crop and taking very a lot of care with our risk and hedging policy, we addressed those high volumes. Both industries are working in full steam here in Rio Grande do Sul, crushing beans and producing biodiesel and oil. And for the next crop, we're going to be ready for March for the next crop for soybeans. So that carryover transition works like that. That's only normal. For pesticides and fertilizers, we have a slightly higher volume because of the reasons listed by Mauricio, the drought here and so on, but we have recovered most of it in January. We were very happy to see the performance that we've seen in Mato Grosso early in the year. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel. Isabella from Bank of America would like to ask a question. Good morning, Luis. Good morning, Mauricio. Thank you, Isabella, for joining. I have two questions. Number one, going back to the industry pillar in Q4, we see a high volatility in meal. I'd like to understand a little more how you've seen margins throughout the quarter. The whole quarter was more difficult, we understand, but in December,
the price of meal, soybean meal, went up again. So if you could give us some color on the industry margin throughout the quarter, it will help us understand the whole dynamics and how we can think going forward. The second question about ag inputs. Going back to the first question about price vis-a-vis farmers. We see prices going up with some volatility, but still going up. How do you expect this transfer of prices going forward for 2022 vis-a-vis the demand? So talk about, if you will, revenue on the ag inputs front. And Mauricio, you mentioned what's being moved from Rio Grande do Sul to Mato Grosso. How do you address the economics of that marginal volume that instead of being sold in the South is now being sold in Mato Grosso? What kind of profitability can you capture when you make that move? We're talking about different markets, right? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Isabella. Good questions. I'll start with the first two, and then I'll move over to Mauricio to address the third question about profitability. As for industry, of course, in meal, or the crushing industry in Brazil, rather, we have the first and second quarters. They are quarters where we export more. We have a higher availability of soybeans. The external market benefits from that. And margins are more tightened in the third and fourth quarters. That's when the national local industry stands out, because importers look to the U.S. or wherever there is a higher soybean availability through the Gulf of Mexico. And we have better margins down here as we meet local demand. And in the fourth quarter of this year, 2021, it was no different. Of course, we have years where we have 4X variations or internal demand variations or high inflation, and then demand will drop. Of course, that changes. But usually, Isabella, that's how it works. First and second quarters, margins are smaller, and then third and fourth quarters, we have better margins. That's how it works. For 2022, where we have a much smaller availability of soybean meal for export from Argentina, we may have interesting opportunities in Rio Grande do Sul, where we can export a meal with a very good basis position. To give you an idea, Argentina accounts for 40% of the meal exported in the world. 40%. Argentina holds 40% of the meal market. So they'll have difficulties with that because of the crop failure down there, and opportunities will arise. We have been talking to growers. It's going to be a difficult year, no doubt, but we need also to look at 2022 as a year with several positive potential opportunities. As for inputs, we have no doubt that growers will invest. Inputs are now selling at high prices, but they always work out the numbers. So today, soybean at 200 reais, of course, they'll look at fertilizers, prices, crop protection products, seeds, different seeds, new technologies. They do the math, they do the assessment, and we help them do that. And they have an assessment of where they're making money or not. Today, it is a positive relationship for them, both for soybean, corn, and wheat. So for 2022, 2023, I have no doubt that growers, farmers will make the necessary investments to produce their crops. And as for the third comment, I'll turn it over for to Mauricio about profitability. Thank you, Luis. Isabella, good morning. About profitability, I have to highlight two things. Number one, we had the opportunity of going to Mato Grosso because the planting in Mato Grosso was a bit late. We anticipated our expansion plan, but we were at the end of the crop. The end of the crop, we talk about the whatever was left. It's not something that was planned by the growers, as we do usually early on in the crop. So by definition, it is a product for which there is demand. There is high demand, an emergency demand at that, which is quite positive. At the same time, we have a situation where we needed to sell, but in terms of margins, without going into too much detail, there was a balance in terms of what we can sell here. Even with the distance, with freight prices, there was a balance. What helped Mauricio was that we're talking about products which were bought at much lower prices. So even if you factor in logistics, transference, freight, still it was a worthwhile business or deals for us because we bought those products at a different moment, at a different price level, much lower. And then we were able to serve or to meet emergency demand. So it was good all around. Okay, thank you. Once again, to ask a question through audio, just click on the raise your hand icon on the screen. To send a question via chat, click on the Q&A icon and type in your question. João has a question. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I'd like to congratulate you on the results, very robust numbers, and it's the start of a journey, I see. And my question is about the competition in Mato Grosso. If you could provide us with a general overview, especially in terms of the retail market for fertilizers and also for grains. Do you expect to use the barter approach, or is it not possible? Something along those lines. Thank you. Thank you, João, for your questions and for the comments. We are also very excited. This is only the first steps in this journey, and we are quite happy with that. Mato Grosso, of course, has a very fierce competition as it is across the country. And for ag inputs and grains, it's no different. We are receiving a welcome card from Mato Grosso growers, very well received along the BR-163 highway. Sinope, Sorriso, and Vera. The market is very large in Mato Grosso, and it won't stop growing. And when I say that, in area, I'm talking about pasture land, which is being transformed, and also technology. Growers increasingly demand more technology. As Mauricio said, we have over 40 professionals working there already in operations and also in sales consultancy, very close to agronomists in the field. I have been spending 1 week a month in Mato Grosso. I went in November, December, January. I'm going to go back in February. And every time I go to Mato Grosso, I see more excitement because we are at a market that does not stop growing. And they invest heavily in technology. And that's why we are now being able to capture our share in that market. About grain origination, we will have the advantage of having our own factory early next year up and running. We may be able to anticipate a little bit, maybe second half or first half of next year. And we may be able to have the ability to originate those grains right alongside where the industry is. So AFS and Basa, they do that with corn. Três Tempos will be doing that with soybeans. In the case of corn, we'll be trading that product starting in June this year. And we're doing a pilot work of getting close to growers, bringing those grains inside, trading for exports and for the local market. And also around fertilizers, we are working around logistics. Fertilizers do have a high impact in terms of logistics. We're going to be working in the south and in the north, and also Tree Fertil, our fertilizer brand, will be introduced in the market through a mixing company on site, and we'll be bringing the raw material in interesting levels and also at very competitive terms for Mato Grosso growers. When I talked about our ecosystem, that's what I'm talking about. We are confident that today, the risk in Mato Grosso, which we identified before the IPO, when we're still in the planning phase, that risk is close to disappearing because we are implementing a very well-structured plan, resorting to able, skilled professionals who know the area very well. So we already have our share in Mato Grosso well-established, well-rooted. That's the confidence level that we have right now. Thank you. Thank you, João. Rodrigo from BTG has a question. Good morning. I have two questions. Number one is a follow-up on G&A. In your presentation, you made it clear that the non-recurring numbers for the year. And how is that influencing your Q4 results? When you break down your expense line, you see a growth in royalties and personnel. If you could detail that a little more, how much of that is part of that $57 million in non-recurring, and how much can we expect to have AIDS recurring expenses as you grow the business? And also, if you could give us some more color on their royalties line. And a second question about the financial results. There was a very positive result in the line about positive discounts. Should we treat this as one-off situations, or should we expect this to be a continued effect? Good morning, Rodrigo. I'll start by talking about expenses first. Then we'll break that down to make it clear for everyone. For royalties, that royalties impacting the fourth quarter, that has to do with the accounting of the royalties. Royalties is what we pay on top of the seeds. Seeds which have genetic treatment. So the main impact comes from that difference in treatment before it would happen throughout the year, and now it has been concentrated on the fourth quarter. And the benefit of that will be seen a little later. So it is a matter of allocation of expenses in the fourth quarter. As for the second question about the discounts, it is a matter of treasury strategy in light of what we see and the behavior of sales of inputs for clients. So 2021 was a year where we saw a capitalized growers, and they have special characteristics. They sell cash, or they buy cash actually, and they did less barter in terms of doing more cash purchases. We end up having a smaller benefit from incorporating the financial cost into the revenue. As a consequence, we try to work with our suppliers to try and anticipate accounts payable to leave it all more balanced. Is there anything else you'd like to ask about that? No, that was it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Once again, to ask questions, click on raise your hand icon. To send written questions, click on Q&A. We now close the Q&A session. I'd like to turn the floor over back to Mr. Luis for his final comments. I would like to thank everyone for your participation in our call. 2021 was a year which was quite positive for Brazilian agribusiness, especially for Três Tentos. We are now expanding, growing, and implementing a very well-structured project. We have all the confidence that this will move forward prosperously in the coming years. We are quite ready to face the moment. We are in direct daily contact with growers, and they are also ready to face this difficult moment in Rio Grande do Sul. Growers have had very positive years in terms of yields and results and prices this year. They will be ready to face a different year. I'm looking forward in terms of wheat, corn, rice, soybeans, and we'll continue to work with them. We are also happy and satisfied and thankful for the way we were received in Mato Grosso. And also a big thank you to all investors who are with us, assessing and acknowledging the importance of this Brazilian company. We work dedicatedly 365 days a year for our agriculture to move forward. And that, of course, involves so many things: renewable energy, food, environment, and the Brazilian countryside, which has so much to offer for the country. So once again, thank you and see you next time. Três Tentos presentation is now over. Thank you all for participating. And have a nice day, everyone.